Well, thank you so much for the warm welcome. My name is Dave Mance. I'm head of campaigns at CSW, and I've come all the way from Guildford this morning. I have a strange desire whenever I'm using sat-nav to kind of self-sabotage myself and drive off on various routes. So I did that as I normally do, but I still made it here on time, so thank God for that. A couple of months ago, Nike produced this ad featuring Colin Kaepernick. If we can have the next slide, featuring Colin Kaepernick. I don't have the clicker, by the way. Oh, there it is. Sorry. Great. There we go. It features Colin Kaepernick, American footballer, and the headline reads, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." Kaepernick protested against racial injustice in the U.S. by bowing the knee during the playing of the national anthem, and as a result, he hasn't played for a team since. He hasn't been employed since. And those kind of sneaky ad people at Nike used his story to sell trainers and also to get an awful lot of media attention, and it was very successful. And I think, well, what's the reason for that? And I think it's because this message of someone who's willing to sacrifice everything for something they believe in is a very powerful message, isn't it? And it really resonates with us. And I think it's as relevant to us today as it was to Jesus' followers 2,000 years ago when he warned them about the cost of following him. In Mark 13, he said, "You'll be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings." And we know that's still true. And often, you know, at CSW, our work is defending those who have sacrificed everything in order to follow their faith in Christ. And these stories of those that CSW works on behalf of, they can be quite harrowing sometimes. They can also be incredibly inspiring. Sometimes they're both. And I just want to share very briefly this morning some stories and pull out some points from this passage to hopefully encourage us and challenge us. I was in Nigeria around this time last year, focusing on the issue of abductions from school by Boko Haram. And many of you will have heard the story of Leah Sharibu. She was the 15-year-old Nigerian schoolgirl who was abducted along with 109 others from her school in Dachi in Yobe State, northern Nigeria, back in February. And a month later, following negotiations by the Nigerian government, she was put in trucks to go back home, and she was about to head home with the rest of them to be with her mother and father and brother. And the terrorist said to her, "Just convert to Islam and you can go." And she took the really extraordinary decision to refuse to renounce her faith at that moment. And she's, as a result, it's cost Leah her freedom, and we're still advocating. Our team in Nigeria is still working on that, on her case very hard. We're calling people to pray and campaign, and I think many of you are aware of this story, and some of you even joined us at the 200-hour protest outside the Nigerian embassy. But I just always think of what that decision took, and I think of her as she must have had to watch her classmates all go home to safety. And it just really, that message, you know, really resounds, doesn't it? Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. In Pakistan last year, I met the parents of 19-year-old Prakash. Prakash worked as a security guard outside this church. It's in an area called Jahanabad on the outskirts of Lahore. It's quite a small Christian community surrounded by his five huge madrasas. And on Easter Sunday 2015, there was a double attack on two churches, a Protestant church and this Catholic church. And at the Protestant church, the death toll was 16 and about 70 injured. And at this church, St. John's, just one member of the church was killed. It was Prakash himself. As the bomber approached the church compound, Prakash challenged him, kind of 19-year-old skinny guy. And the bomber said, "Look, I'm going to detonate if you don't let me pass." And he still refused. Say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. And the bomber tried to clamber over this wall. Obviously, the wall's been rebuilt since. And Prakash pulled him down and just grabbed him in a bear hug and wouldn't let him go. And the man detonated and killed them both. And what I found most remarkable about this story, talking to his parents, his mother said that Prakash volunteered for this job as security guard. And he did it against her will because she obviously knew the risk to him, to her son. And she said that now her second son also volunteers as a security guard. And she said that he does that with her blessing. And that really struck me, because I think, well, I've got two children, and I think if I lost one, I would cling all the more tightly to my second child. But she chose to let him do this work, and I just thought, yeah, again, what extraordinary sacrifice. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Staying in Pakistan, it would be remiss of me almost, really, not to mention the case of Asia Bibi. You've probably heard her name mentioned in the news the last couple of weeks. 47-year-old Christian, mother of four, back in 2009, really all she did was offer a drink to a Muslim workmate, having taken a sip herself, and this kind of bitter exchange came from it, and as a result she was accused of blasphemy, and it went all the way to the point where she ended up on death row from 2010 until this year, simply because no judge wants to rule against a blasphemy case because they will put their lives on the line. The point I really want to make about this is just actually what an extraordinary step it was that she was acquitted just about 2 weeks ago. Many of us thought that she would not, you know, that she would just remain on death row indefinitely, but these three Supreme Court judges took that bold step to put their lives on the line and rule in her case and for justice. And although she's been set free, she's living in hiding at the moment, she still really needs our prayers. But let's pray that that would be a real turning point for Pakistan, so that not only Asia Bibi would be freed and able to leave Pakistan safely, but that actually this would be a turning point for the country. Elsewhere, discrimination can take more subtle forms. If you're a religious minority, you may not be able to go to university. You may not be able to get anything but the most menial job. If you live in Mexico, it could mean that you can't bury a loved one in your village when they die. It could mean, in Cuba, for example, children of pastors are bullied and harassed as a way to get to their parents. So what the authorities have found is it's a very effective way. A pastor will say, you know, I can take anything, but just don't touch my children. So they found the best way to silence them is to harass their children, use school as a place to do that. Staying in Cuba, I want to tell you a story about a Cuban pastor named Omar Good Perez. Omar was preaching a few years ago, and his church movement was really growing very quickly, and as a result, he caught the attention of the authorities. And one day, he found his home was surrounded by police, and they came, took him away, and shortly after that, he was sentenced to 75 years in prison. And the authorities made sure that he was just subjected to the worst abuse while he was in prison, mental and physical torture. And he said that, and they restricted the amount he could see his family. And he said that he, just as he saw this, really his lifetime stretching ahead of him in this place, it absolutely just shook his faith, and he began to lose his faith in God. And as he looked around, he said, a thought began to tear my faith. And he saw that, really in that prison, the way that they do it is the prison guards don't rule the place, but they just make the worst of the worst criminal to kind of rule the roost, as it were, over the place. And so this thought, as he began to say, well, God has deserted me, I'm just going to have to stand up for myself here. And this thought came to him that he would actually murder the worst of the worst criminal, and he would take his place. And as he was considering this, and this thought was in his heart, he finally was allowed a visit from his wife. And his wife brought with her loads of letters from CSW supporters who'd written to Omar in prison. And she handed him this one card. And he said it was from a young girl. It had a picture. that she'd drawn, and it just had six simple words: God still has faith in you. And he said that when he read those words, he was just broken. And he was broken before his wife, and he told his wife what he'd been planning. And they prayed together, and she ministered to him. And he said that from that moment, even though his situation hadn't changed, his heart changed completely, and there was a real lightness to his life. And from that point onwards, he began to pastor inmates. He even saved one man's life who tried to kill himself. And not long after that, thanks to the work of advocacy and campaigning, Omar was released. And I just love to think of the story because, you know, it's so easy for us, isn't it, to kind of think, well, what possible difference can one person make? But just imagine if that, just a little girl, just imagine if she hadn't taken the time to write that message, draw that card. And I think that's a great encouragement to just remember the power that even just one of us can have. And of course, if God can do it with one person, imagine what he can do with all of us working together, which brings me on to the case of this man, Wim Van Dyke. He's a lawyer in Vietnam. You can make a pretty good living as a lawyer there, but he chose instead to defend those who are persecuted for what they believe. And Dai was imprisoned and tortured for that and put under house arrest several years. And then when he came out, he went back to doing the very thing that got him put in prison in the first place, which I don't know about you, but again, I just sort of think if that had happened to me, I probably would, I'd get to the end of those sort of 5 years or so and I'd sort of think, okay, it's time to pass the baton on to someone else now. I've kind of done my bit. But no, he persisted, and of course he then attracted the authorities again as a result of that, and in March he was sentenced to 15 years, March of this year. You might be wondering, what exactly does CSW do? Well, in Dai's case, expert advocates raised his case at the UN, British government, the US State Department, and the EU. And at the same time as that, we got people to write letters, and we did protests in several countries on the same day. And of course, also we asked people to pray. And I remember waking up on a Saturday morning back in June to the amazing news that Dai had been released along with his assistant, and they'd been flown, they live in exile now with his wife in Germany. And I just think this, and it's only one case, but it's just a really good example of just this combined power when we work together of, yeah, expert advocacy in those kind of corridors of power, combined with grassroots activism, ordinary folks like you and me, speaking up, writing letters, and of course, most essentially, prayer. As well as speaking up for the individual, we speak up for whole communities across whole nations, and we, as Christians, we believe it's important to speak up not just for injustice against Christians, but against those of all faiths and none. You can't fail, really, to have heard about the plight of the Rohingya in Burma, predominantly Muslim people who've just suffered most appalling things at the hands of the Burma army. You may even heard of recent weeks the case of, in northeast China, the Uyghur Muslims and other minorities really suffering awful things. There's between 1 and 3 million men, women, and children in re-education camps in northeastern China in Zhejiang province. And that it's really for things such as attending a religious meeting like this, or it could be for having WhatsApp on your phone. Those are the kind of reasons you can be locked up there. Children, if they're not in the camps, they're often put into orphanages. And when I was talking to a friend, because we got this kind of latest estimate of up to 3 million, I was talking to my colleague who works on China. I said, wow, 3 million, that's half the number of the Holocaust. And she said, well, it's interesting you should say that, because there's even reports of families being herded onto trains like cattle with blacked-out windows and transported across the country. That's happening in China right now. And that's why I've come here today, because what's the primary way that God's kingdom of justice and peace is coming to the earth? It's through the church, isn't it? And the church in China is speaking up very, very boldly. Church in Nigeria is speaking up very boldly, but they need our voices too. We can call for protection for them. And in Mark 13, you know, that overall tone of that passage is Jesus saying, yes, you know, these trials will come. You know, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You'll be called to in front of kings and in courts. You'll be flogged. But he's saying, you know, stay faithful. You know, and we think of the story of Omar, you know, it just reaches this point. God, what is going on? It's very easy for us to think like that. But Jesus is saying that, no, we can trust him, that he is at work. We know that God is at work today in Pakistan. We know that he's at work in amazing ways in his church in China. And I take real great hope in Jesus' words that he knew what the kind of things that his followers would face. And yet he's encouraging us to stand strong in that. And I hope we can all be really encouraged by the courage of some of these stories that I've shared today. People like Dai and Leah and Omar and Prakash. And, you know, the way that we can each respond is very different, isn't it? And maybe the Spirit is prompting you today to take a stand for your faith in some way in your workplace or perhaps in your community. Just to know that God, the Holy Spirit, is going to give you the words to say in those situations. And, you know, like that girl who wrote to Omar, you might never know what God might do with just a few words that you use. And, of course, collectively we can achieve so much more. I just want to share some really simple things that you could do. So a week on Wednesday, we'll be this building and other buildings in the area and really across the nation will be lighting up red for Red Wednesday. That's a week on Wednesday, and you can join us. If you haven't ever been along to a rally, that kind of thing, it's a great thing to be part of, just to raise awareness of these issues. So we'll be there, Parliament Square, on Wednesday 28th in the afternoon from 3:30. Or you can join us for the rally at 5:30 and then over to Westminster Cathedral, or you can meet us there at 6:15. Well, there'll be a fantastic, really, really amazing service along with Aid to the Church in Need. There's simple ways that you can just take action today. I brought with me a petition which is calling for the protection of schools in Nigeria, particularly northern Nigeria, that basically that what's happened to Leah wouldn't happen again. So I'll be just out there by the table. You could sign that petition. That would be really, really fantastic. Also, just to kind of put a little tick in the box to say that you want to keep hearing about campaigns like this, because we just need more voices. You can give to help those like Leah and Omar and Prakash. Just a small monthly gift is a really significant thing for a pretty small organization. You can pray. We've got amazing prayer resources I brought with me. Please take those away with you. I hope you're kind of encouraged today by the stories of the power of prayer. And you can also write to prisoners. I've also brought resources for that. You may very well find that as you write letters to those who suffer for their faith, it really changes your life as well as theirs. However God's calling us to respond this morning, let's just have ears to hear what he's saying. Let's be open to his Spirit. And trust that he's going to speak to us and move in our lives today. Amen.